Merry Christmas, everybody. It's our 2018 Year in Review show. It's a very special show tonight. Tonight, we are going to review the best films, TV shows, events, and haunts that we have experienced this year. Plus, we are also going to be previewing a little bit of this new phenomenon. It's not super new, but the past few years around Christmas time, a lot of the haunted houses around the country have been opening up for special Christmas haunts. Kind of weird, kind of cool. Anyways, this is our final show of the year, so we're looking forward to it. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
So bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. So bye-bye. I don't know what the bye-bye was all about. Bye-bye. We'll see you next year, but we're not done with this year yet. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on the Scary Guys Show. My name is Jim. I'm the managing editor here. We have a lot of Santa Claus wearing great horror fiends with us tonight. Who do we have?
What's up? Carrie Lane here. I'm a host at AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk, and I do a lot of other filmy stuff.
I'm Katie, just all around media lover.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome, Katie.
Oh, thanks.
Merry Christmas, yeah. Katie.
Merry Christmas.
Hi, my name's Derek. I contribute to the conguy.com and other such things.
And what's on the couch today?
And I'm Santa Cheeseman on the couch here from thescareguy.com.
It's Cheeseman, Cheeseman Claus.
Cheeseman Claus
right, right here.
And in the sound booth today, we have our always spectacular Anthony.
What up, everybody? It's Tony B. Tony over here in the booth working the ones and twos.
Anyways, thank you guys for joining us on our final show of the year. We do have a lot to go over tonight, but tonight's going to be more of a fun night. We're going to go over all the stuff that has happened previously in 2018. Can you believe that 2018 is over?
No.
It's over like in a few weeks.
That's pretty crazy.
It's like I've been talking to people like this is one of those years where I just can't think of like the
where it all went.
Yeah, where did it go? 2019 just shows up in a couple weeks. Oh my gosh. Anyways. Like we said, thank you for joining us tonight. We do have a lot to talk about because we are geeks about all things horror, all things scary, the scarier side of the con guy. If you guys don't know, we are the scarier side of the con guy. It's so hard to be talking when I'm looking at this this image over here. That's bizarre.
I'm not a real person. I'm just one of those things in CVS. Slightly moving.
All right.
Waving.
Anyways, hopefully you guys have been good this year so you get a little bit more than coal in your stockings from Krampus. Since we are the Scare Guy Show. Anyways, Derek, what are some of the conventions that are coming up soon?
Yeah, well, there are a number of them. Let's see, December 7th through 9th is the Supernatural Convention in Jacksonville, Florida. And then that same weekend, December 8th and 9th, is Walker Stalker Con in New Jersey. And then January 25th through 27th is Days of the Dead Atlanta. And January 25th through 29th is Haunt Con and Halloween Party Expo in New Orleans, Louisiana. And then March 8th through 10th, Monster Mania Con in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. March 15th through 17th is Horror Hound Weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio. So that's a lot of the horror-based conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And then Happy Death Day to You hits theaters February 14th.
Woo! A beautiful romantic day for
everyone.
Yeah,
totally.
Hey, are you guys at all... I mean, I've been following horror conventions for a little bit now, but does it surprise you at all that there's so many of them right here in December and January?
It's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I never would have expected him there.
No, it's interesting, though, because traditionally, which even like back in Victorian times, people would tell ghost stories at Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, the...
A Christmas
ghost
story.
Of Christmas.
Yeah, like Christmas Carol came out.
Christmas Carol, thank you.
It was building on all of that at the time.
Yeah.
And so many of our traditions about Christmas come from Victorian England anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that, like, it's actually kind of funny that it seems odd to us to have scary stuff at Christmas when that was...
That is
the way
cool.
It was back then.
And even like the story of Krampus. And who here can explain to me the story of Krampus?
Krampus is like Santa's shadow. He comes not to give, but to take.
It's like a
getting naughty children.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the demon of Christmas. I shouldn't say that. But it's celebrated in, is it Scandinavian countries?
It's like Austrian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Eastern European?
Yeah.
Which I just saw that movie for the first time.
Krampus?
And
there's actually a lot of them, but
I actually really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I I'm not a huge horror fan. I can just appreciate it when it's well done.
Yeah.
But this one, like, I was really just loving the movie more than I felt like I should have.
Yeah. I like it. I liked that movie a lot.
Yeah. I love the cast.
I liked the Halloween Horror Nights Haunted Maze of Krampus more than I liked the movie.
Yes.
Even though I love Toni Collette.
It's a good movie, but it just has such a... Like the way it goes?
Yeah.
There's a way to explain it, but that's not that they all have to be perfect. I like Rare Exports better as my Christmas monster one. Have you guys seen Rare Exports?
I feel like I've heard you mention it.
Yeah, it's a foreign one, and it's they capture like a monster Santa Claus.
Oh.
Sort of. That's like cool. The most abbreviated way to explain it. Okay. It's really good. Go watch Rare Exports.
Do you know that our modern slasher craze started with the 1973, is it Silent Night, Deadly Night? Is it? Wait, am I right, Anthony? Am I correct on that? The 1973 movie, I think it was Silent Night, Deadly Night, started the holidays as slasher days types of films, because Halloween came after. I'm gonna have to look that up and make sure that I'm not lying to everybody who's listening right now. Anyways,
not lying, just mistaken.
Just mistaken.
Yeah, I'm not really too sure about that. I know the town that feared sundown. It was one of the earlier slasher films as well. But I can't really remember the date of that one. But yeah, definitely check in on that. Let us know, because I'm interested as well.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking up right now. But as we do this, the one thing that's kind of the next topic, what we're going to talk about tonight, first, we have basically two topics. The second half of the show is all about the year in review, but the first little bit of the show, we're going to be talking about haunted attractions during Christmas, which seems kind of odd, but we were talking about Krampus and how Krampus is kind of like this tradition, which maybe we're not so familiar with. Well, we are now.
We don't really celebrate it here. Yeah. I know there's other areas that they'll have Krampus parade and events. And
downtown Los Angeles is having a big Krampus parade and run. Is it next? I think next Thursday during Art Walk.
Something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, they've got like people in costume that are, you know, lightly whipping people who run by, I guess.
Yeah,
like,
and then this past summer at both Midsummer and at Scare-A-Lay, they had the big Krampus parades going through, which was kind of cool. And people are really getting into this Krampus thing. So anyways, scary Christmas is kind of a thing. So, and Carrie, I think you and I talked about this a little bit, like the emergence this past few years, or at least my knowledge of it, and it's probably been around for longer, but like haunted houses at Christmas time. Which is that a new thing that you're aware of? Or
I feel it's newer. New-ish. But then the thing is, I bet people have been like, damn, we make a lot of money doing haunted attractions at Halloween. Let's do it more. Mm-hmm. So it totally makes sense of like why they'd hop on that. And there are actually quite a few horror Christmas movie or that time winter ones. So
right.
I call those the Thanksgiving movies. Because it's too late to watch Halloween movies, but too early to watch Christmas movies, so you watch the ones that are more together between those two times.
Don't ruin Thanksgiving!
No, but, like, there's no movies, not many movies for Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. So there's Thanksgiving.
Oh. Yeah, but I'm saying, like, that's what I call
Thanksgiving. There's not many Thanksgiving.
There are many Thanksgiving movies.
Like,
no, but there's a horror one that's a killer turkey.
But
I love it.
It's a killer turkey, really?
Those movies that blend and Halloween together. Hold on. That's what that time's for.
Well, I saw a trailer of a movie that's a few years old about a killer Christmas tree. Have you guys seen that one?
I think I've heard of it.
Well, there are a couple of Doctor Who Christmas specials that involve weaponized trees.
This tree actually comes back to wreak revenge on the person who used an axe to chop it down by chopping this guy's legs and limbs off. It's actually fairly funny.
There's evil snowman ones. There's a few
Jack Frost. Jack Frost 2 is amazing. It's in Hawaii. I used to watch it with my friends.
Jack Frost 2
is
in
Jack Frost in Hawaii.
So, yeah, how is he in Hawaii?
I can't quite remember. I just remember it was one of the worst movies ever, but for that reason.
Is it one of the worst, one of the best, or was it just one of the worst?
It was really bad.
Okay.
And I made my dad and his workers watch it on a ski trip, and they were all like making fun of it and like mad at me and my friend for running it because they didn't find it funny.
Well, let's go ahead and go over some of these haunted attractions that are happening across the country. One of the first ones that I could find, Moxley Manor, which is a place that I hear about around Halloween time, but it's in Bedford, Texas. Moxley Manor Haunted House brings you our 9th annual Night Scare Before Christmas. Very clever. Haunted House. It's this December. The Moxley Manor is overrun by evil elves and the legend of the Krampus. There's Krampus. You can bring him in and everything gets scary.
Cool.
In Alabama, I love the name of this one, the Hillbilly Hollow. By the way, as someone who used to live in the South, it's okay to use the word hillbilly, okay? It's Hillbilly Hollow in Vincent, Alabama. It's our second annual Christmas haunt. Arizona, the Fear Farm in Phoenix, Arizona. California, out here we have All Saints Lunatic Asylum in Apple Valley.
Nice.
Where is Apple Valley?
It's like the desert going north. I want to say Victorville.
Doesn't sound like where they'd have apples.
No, it's like middle. It's desert.
Well, if it's the closer north you get, because like the Central Valley is all agriculture land. Mm-hmm. So if it's closer towards that area, then yeah, there'd be.
I want to say it's more like Victorville, like going up.
Yeah, first but of all, Victorville's north.
Have any of you guys ever done a Christmas haunt?
No.
I haven't either. I think this will be, I'm going to try one this year. This might, because South Carolina, where my folks live, and I go back for the holidays, they do have a few back there. Okay. I'm going to be listing a bunch of the links that I was able to pull together on the website, just so you guys can see this. There are all kinds of guides of Christmas haunts across the country. This next haunted house is actually part of a chain. Mm. It's Colorado, 13th floor haunted house in Denver. There's also a 13th floor in Chicago. There's a 13th floor in Jacksonville. And it's apparently, it's got like 8 or 9 locations across the country. They do haunted houses around Halloween time, but the 13th floor haunted house company, or incorporated, they're actually franchising these Christmas haunted houses now across the country. So maybe they're the ones leading the craze. And then also in Jacksonville, Florida, Warehouse 31 Unleashed. Kentucky has the Haunted Hotel in Louisville. New Hampshire has the Fright Before Christmas.
Cute.
Haunted Illinois is a website that lists about, I think I found like 25 different haunted events in Illinois by itself.
Wow.
That's all I have right now.
Louisiana.
Krampus.
At New Orleans Nightmare.
Yeah. By the way, because I didn't want to just sit here and list them. We're going to put this on the website, but every single state I could find, it seems like a couple of them. Maybe Rhode Island had one. I don't know. California is chock full of them. Florida seems to have more than their fair share. I mean, I think the warm weather states, maybe. But this is something that's kind of cool, something to keep your eyes on if you guys are out and about traveling during the holidays. The one thing that's interesting, though, is they don't go throughout the whole month. Like the first weekend, like the 7th and 8th, is probably the busiest weekend for these haunted attractions. The 13th floor attractions vary by state, but it is kind of a cool thing to be on the lookout for. So I'm going to try one, and I will try to post on social media once. I don't know which one it is, but in South Carolina they have one. Also, I'm going to be in Georgia for part of that. In Atlanta, there's one in Atlanta I saw. Anyways, so let's get that one out of the way. That's just something cool, that's a cool development. Yeah. But we're going to go ahead and move on to 28, the year in review. And before we start, does anybody have a favorite memory of this year that has nothing to do with horror? Anything that you guys are really happy about?
Because I was thinking of one that was sort of related to horror.
It can be if you want it to be.
I can think of lots of good memories of the year. Mm-hmm. But like at LA Comic Con, I finally met Ryan Lambert of Monster Squad when I went to their panel, which I've known his mother since I moved out here. And they're like friends of a friend and everything. And so like I finally connected with him. And we want to try and get him and the director of the Monster Squad documentary on here one of these days.
Yes, we are going to be. Derek's going to thank you for kind of chasing that down for us.
But those guys were really cool. I really enjoyed LA Comic Con. I feel like I got to meet a lot of interesting filmmakers and writers. And yeah, it was just a good time.
LA Comic Con was a really good show this year. I liked the way that Fangoria had a whole wing that they kind of sponsored at LA Comic Con with a whole bunch of horror different things. And because it was on Halloween weekend. Next year, it's not on Halloween weekend. I don't know if you noticed. They moved it up by like 3 weeks. Oh. And they made a big deal. Next year, it's like at the beginning of October, I think.
Which is good. I was bummed that it was Halloween weekend. I'm like, no!
Well, but it's always been Halloween weekend.
It has, but it's not.
No, it was earlier, like, at the beginning. It was more like September.
But, like, the whole time Stan Lee had it, it was always October.
I think you're... I think it used to be, there used to be a different, it was called the Halloween Weekend Comic Book Festival in LA on that weekend. And I think they kind of merged. I might be speaking completely untruth.
Because I know the entire time I've worked at my job, I haven't been able to go usually because it's that weekend.
Oh. Well, so maybe next year you get to go.
I mean, I went this year, but because I had my days off on the weekends this year, but yeah.
But these are the things that we're going to be talking about as far as the year in review. Our favorite, the best and worst movies. We're going to be spending most of our time on the best. The movies that really stood out to us as far as in the horror genre. And there were a lot this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have a lot to talk about. And the emergence of streaming has really kind of upped the ante as far as the number of films that are available to us. Mm-hmm. Secondly, we're going to be talking about TV shows. Horror on television is kind of a big deal. And I pay attention more to the films, and I think a lot of us do because they're just out there. But there's so many good horror, and there's I'm not gonna say it yet. There's one horror in show in particular this year that just was transformative in how good it was, I think.
And there was a movie on Netflix that I'll add that I'm like,
yeah, I don't have much.
There's some horror that they've, you know, that's you might fantastic. Not have gotten otherwise.
And then the third one will be conventions. Some of the best conventions, some of the best experiences we had at conventions. And then lastly, the haunts. It's our best, most favorite haunts of the year. By haunts, I mean haunted attractions, haunted houses, haunted something. And then we'll just end with, you know, anything that was like our favorites this year. Anyways, let's start with films, our favorite films of the year. Also, you guys on the, what's the other podcast that you're part of?
Horror Movie News.
Yep, you guys also were doing something similar, right?
We did. We did our top five favorites and three worst.
Yeah, like least favorite, most disappointed by, you know.
It's all subjective, and it's not necessarily it's a bad movie, good movie. It's just what we liked and what didn't do it for us.
It's art, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, you guys notice that Carrie's like all lit up here? She's like a living Christmas tree.
Yo, Carrie is lit.
Carrie's lit today. So we're going to do something similar. We're going to just discuss a list here, and then we'll try to whittle it down to the ones that we were our favorites of the year. And we're going to...
Because there's a lot.
Yeah, well, there are a lot. I don't think all of them deserve to be spoken about, but we will do our best. Anyways, so I've broken down this list here of all these things and Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, the top box office of the year. And speaking of box office, real quick before we jump into the movies, last year was a monumental year. They called it the biggest year in horror ever, 2017, led by the gigantic success of Stephen King's It.
Mm-hmm.
And then the super movie Get Out. So, with a year of horror with those two movies in it, it's kind of hard to, like, say, hey, to top it. So I'm not going to...
Is It the part two next year?
Yes.
That sounds right.
I think it's 2020. I'm really excited about that. I thought it was 2020.
Oh, so it's not 19?
No, it's next year.
Is it next year?
Yep.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
And we talked about a not-so-great article that said this was not a good year for horror. And we were like, what are you talking about?
Really?
Yes.
On what did they base that?
It was coming from the fashion publication of... Oh, my God, I'm forgetting.
A fashion publication?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What do you think
was it Vogue?
Horror?
Was it Vogue? It might have been Vogue. It really grinded my gears. It
grinded his gears.
I can't really.
I didn't even read the article.
Yeah. I can't really recall off my the top of my head, but it was very. It was a little infuriating. And also, it was kind of like clickbait, especially for us horror film lovers were just like would see that and then like would pop a blood vessel.
Are we easily triggered? Yes.
Little bit.
I'm easily triggered when they say horror, it was not a great year for horror, when in fact it truly was.
I think it was a great year for horror.
And yeah. It was great though because all the horror outlets on social media were like, pumped the brakes on that one and said maybe you should stick to fashion.
All right, so yeah. Throwing some shit. All right, we're going to do like kind of round robin. We'll just start going around the room, and as we go around, Pick a film and why you thought it was a good film this year. I do have to start. Because, let's just get this one off the table. Cleanse the palate. Halloween 2018. I've been looking forward to this film for a very, very long time. Cheeseman on the Couch is wearing the Halloween
Monster
t-shirt.
Monster Tees t-shirt.
Yep.
It's like, I got my Monster Tees.
And then she's got her Monster Tees on.
Got my Monster Tees.
I don't know what this is. Oh, I got this at Warner Brothers. At the Warner Brothers event.
Nice.
So this is my Overlook Hotel. Speaking of which, did you hear?
They just wrapped
production on Dr. Sleep.
Set to be released in 2020.
Yes, and I did not know that director was directing that film. The director of... Does anybody know?
Is it Mike Flanagan?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. The Haunting of
Hill House. Yes, and he said a lot of
great films.
Anyway, so it's pretty amazing. I'm really excited, by the way. Anyways, for me, it was Halloween. This was one of the films I've been looking forward to all year long. Anyone who watches the show is so tired of hearing me talk about it. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being my expectation, 7.5. Which I'm very sad to say.
It was better the second time, in my opinion.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I would have said 6.
But still, the third act feels a little messy to me. But I liked a lot of it leading up to there.
Yep. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a... Somewhere on here. Somewhere.
79.
All right.
For Halloween?
For Halloween. Give it a 79.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, that's not terrible for Rotten Tomatoes.
Feels like what it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? I like it just for the fact that it's Jamie Lee Curtis coming back being badass.
She'll be back again.
And Judy Greer. I love Judy Greer as well. My favorite scene in the movie was Judy Greer's movie. I can't do it. I can't do it. Gotcha. Bam. Loved that scene. It was great. All right. Carrie.
Now, if only more of the movie was like that.
This is true.
I want to give a shout out because I interviewed them at Sundance Summer of 84.
Nice.
Yes. I saw that as a midnight movie. Perfect way to see that movie. If you guys haven't seen Summer of 84, I highly recommend it. It's a director team of three people, which is actually really cool, too. Huh. And it's just a really good nostalgia vibe of the 80s, and it really is keeps you guessing in a good way, and where they go, I'm glad they go that far.
Yeah.
And there are some really good scares in it.
Nice.
And it's not supernatural at all. Just it's a, one of those. It's a serial killer. It's a serial killer, and like who is it in your neighborhood? And it kind of is based on how kids were kidnapped and stuff in the early 80s or whatever. Like milk carton kids, you know. And they have that. That's like one of the images.
The milk carton kids.
Yeah, the missing kid. Like, have you seen this kid? Wow.
It's pretty much like in the 80s when like suburbia slowly started becoming more horrified of children going missing and like the evils of suburban life, which wasn't really a thing back in like the 50s or so.
Yeah, it started with John Walsh's son, the Adam.
Oh, yeah.
Like my parents have a video of me 2 years old. Like, they made a video just in case I went missing. Like, the church did that.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Made missing videos for you if your kid ever went missing. So there's one of me and my sister because of that thing happening right around. Yeah, it would have been around like 85.
So, yeah, it's a very... I would also say it's also really entertaining. It's one of those you'll definitely enjoy it if you like horror films. Yeah, and even if you're not super into horror, you could show other people, too, and they'd like it.
Also,
it's well done.
The directors are from their first film, major film, was Turbo Kid, which was amazing, and that made the rounds on Netflix. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's an amazing B-rated, like, B film is, like, an S ranking in my taste.
An S ranking? What's that?
It's, like, the highest of the... That's, like, video game ranking.
Oh, okay.
It goes A, B, and, like, or, like, it's S, A, B kind of thing.
Kara, you interviewed the directors?
I did, and actually, Tony did here.
Yeah, that's what I thought, in studio.
I was at Sundance, and I had a press pass, actually, for Slam Dance, so that's my memory of what was awesome.
Nice.
And I saw the movie, and I cold called, like, reached out to their agents and was like, hey, I want to do an interview. Can I meet with them? And they were all super nice, very pleasant, and totally were like, yeah, let's do the interview.
Awesome.
They were actually my favorite interview of this year.
Yeah. You can watch the interview on the Popcorn Talk Facebook page because I did it as a Facebook Live video.
Oh, okay. We're going to link
we
over
have
there.
A question from a viewer.
What's the question?
Yeah.
Did anyone see Mandy?
Yes.
Wait.
Is that somebody's next choice? All right.
I haven't been able to see it yet.
I really want to see it.
I saw it. Wait, did you see it?
No.
Oh, okay. Not yet. Me and Tony have seen it.
Okay, horror nerd.
It's really good. It's,
it's crazy.
It's super crazy. It's very wild, and it's like a drug trip. So don't go expecting it to be very...
Yeah, it's a very, like, experimental art house film that has a lot of really crazy scenes in it. Like, there's like, at least a five-minute super zoom, like, close-up of people's faces that are super interposed within each other.
And,
like,
Jim's favorite thing.
I hate close-ups of faces.
It's crazy. And at times, you can't really tell who you're looking at.
Fans of Vikings, King Ekbert is in it as a leader of a cult.
Oh, nice.
You see him naked, which I was like, wait.
And okay. I also heard the guy who did the music, this was his final film before he passed on.
Oh.
Yeah, because they had a big presentation of this at LA Comic Con with the producers. Mm-hmm. Oh, Elijah Wood is one of the, his company is one of the producers of this film. Or they are the producers of this film.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
Just know it's going to be wild.
Okay. It is now on streaming, and I saw it the other day.
On Shudder. You can watch it on Shudder.
Nice. All right,
and
Katie.
Also, you can rent it as well. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
Katie.
I actually did not see like any except for Hellfest. That's like the only scary movie.
Well, tell us about
theaters.
It.
You did really.
But I actually was going to talk about a Netflix one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because me and my roommate do this thing where like if we're both off on the same night.
But can I ask you about Hellfest?
Yes. What did you think of it?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, so I did actually enjoy Hellfest, being the fact that I've worked at amusement parks for like 8 years of my life and worked a haunt event for 4 years now. I can't even remember. It's, to me, I was like, okay, I could realistically see this actually happening. So like in my brain, and then like some of like the way that the characters acted, I'm like, yep, I encounter that on a daily basis. So to me, I think I enjoyed it more because I work at an amusement park. If you didn't get the things that people have to deal with at an amusement park, I don't think you'd enjoy it as much.
Yeah.
But I was able to relate to it and be like,
I super love Halloween Horror Nights, and I super love haunts, and this one is a film I'm like, yes, of course someone's going to make a movie like this.
When I saw the trailer, I was like, why hasn't this movie been made before?
Yeah.
I feel the trailer is much better than the actual movie,
but there, yeah, like, there were some holes. There was a lot of, like, missteps with character development, and I get all that, all those things people have told me, because I know a lot of people that didn't like it. But I think it's more that I just went in, like, I'm just going to watch it. It's probably going to be like a D movie, but I'm going to just watch it with an open mind. And, you know, I enjoyed it. So, but me and my roommate, we watch movies whenever we have the days off. We'll be like, let's find a horror movie and watch it. We kind of just scroll through Netflix or Amazon or Hulu, see what horror is on there. And we watched, I can't even remember how many. There were some I remember for the wrong reasons. There are some that were good. But the one that stuck out in my brain was Before I Wake. I don't know if you guys
fantastic.
That.
That's actually Mike Flanagan, I believe.
Yeah.
Flanagan's just, man, he's killing it.
He's coming up in the game.
Yeah.
As far as Netflix films go, they're very hit or miss. Mm-hmm. But some of their horror films are actually really good. And this one's about a couple that, like, loses their son, and then they've taken a foster kid. And this foster kid, basically, they find out that there's, like, a dark past with this kid. Mm. And long story short, bad things happen when he falls asleep. And so they find out throughout the movie, you find out what it is, what's going on. And it's pretty creepy. Like, I think me and my roommate were like, yeah, we're sleeping with the lights on tonight. Like, because it's one of those movies that you don't always see what it is. It's like a, you know, so it's more mysterious because you're like, what is it? And I think if I remember correctly, the ending's like kind of like...
It's a good ending.
Yeah, like you're not expecting it. Yeah. So, yeah. But that was my favorite one that I can think of.
Before you go.
Yes.
It is not Silent Night, Deadly Night. It is Black Christmas. During their Christmas break, a group of sorority girls are stalked by a stranger. 1974, John Carpenter cites this as one of the precursors to his film.
Interesting.
Of Halloween, which came out in 1978. So it is very interesting. All right, Derek.
Okay, well, I'm surprised nobody else mentioned this yet, actually. I'm going to say A Quiet Place.
Yes, thank you.
Because that was brilliant. And my wife and I saw it together, and she avoids horror at all costs, pretty much. But this one she really enjoyed. Well, because we could both appreciate just the way the suspense is built. And you sit in a crowded theater, and everybody just stops munching their popcorn because they're just listening. And also they're afraid that if they make a noise, they'll die. It's just incredible what they put the characters through, and the performances are great. And for, I'm fairly certain that's his directorial debut, right? And so for him to direct that and have like and knock it out of the park on the first feature that he directs, that's just pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Also, it's kind of fun to watch that and imagine that it's a follow up to The Office, and this is what happens to Jim and Pam later.
Someone said that. I haven't seen that, but I've heard people say that.
Well, just like any movie I see with Bradley Cooper, I just imagine that it's actually Will Tippin
From Alias.
In Witness Protection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which certainly
he's still
changes
there.
Things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
He actually has directed before, but that was his, like, major.
His film debut, though, right?
Yeah.
It's his film
debut. No, he's in the other one called The Hollers and also A Brief Interviews with Hideous Men.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
He directed
it. He didn't write it, though, did he? Did he write it?
I'm not sure if he wrote the other ones, but he wrote A Quiet Place.
He wrote A Quiet Place.
Yeah, he wrote A Quiet Place.
First written and directed.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is still really great.
Yeah.
He has a degree in screenwriting.
I just got to give him props. You know, he's not just another pretty face. You know, like, sometimes... Sometimes we dismiss people like, oh, there's whatever. This guy, that's an amazing job. And he and his wife able to do this together, that's pretty amazing. And they didn't kill each other.
And they've stayed married. Good for them.
And she's coming out in Mary Poppins later this year. Much different movie, but I can't wait to see that one.
And he also was in, Jack Ryan that premiered this year, too. And so it's cool that they're both doing a lot of versatile things.
I'll tell you what, that couple, they are doing well for themselves right now.
By the way, I did also work my way through a few more classic scary movies. I mean, you may or may not consider them all classics. But some more older scary movies this year that I saw.
Such as?
I saw Let Me In, which is the American remake of Let the Right One In.
Right.
Because I was multitasking and I couldn't read subtitles.
And very quickly, what is it about?
It's about a little girl who's a vampire, moves in next door to this little boy, and they become friends, and he starts to find things out and while she's going and killing people and sucking their blood, you know. It's really interesting. I'd seen the first two Alien movies just a few years ago, and I just recently watched Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, which is interesting.
Oofa.
Yeah. But it's nice to just have seen them now. I saw 28 Days Later, finally.
Oh, yay! Nice. That was good.
That was intense. I did not know there would be so much naked guy. But
you need now you're going to watch 28 Weeks Later.
Yes. That's on my list. Okay. That's on Hulu right now.
Okay, good.
I think. So I saw The Purge.
Yeah.
And The Purge Anarchy.
Oh, really?
Both of which I liked. Okay. I mean, a lot of people act like the first Purge is just not that good in comparison because it's all so contained.
Yeah. Mm.
But I actually really enjoyed that dynamic and the way the family is reflecting on the greater social implications of it all. And I mentioned I saw Krampus. And I just saw Child's Play for the first time.
The very first Child's Play?
Wow.
Yeah. Which I like. Yeah, I wanted to laugh, but also because it's such a ridiculous concept, but the way it's handled is pretty well.
Wait, is that Virginia Madsen?
No.
No, wait. She was in Candyman. Wrong 80s film.
Yeah, but this does have Prince Humperdinck.
Yeah.
And Wormtail. Or no, Wormtongue, sorry. Getting those mixed up. Brad Dourif. And so it's like a few actors from other things, like in the 80s and everything, and it's just like, what?
Isn't it crazy? Like, you go back to the 80s and see movies, and you see these people like, wait, I know them from such and such. Yeah. But
I saw The Lost Boys for the first time a month ago.
Wait, the vampire movie Lost Boys?
I've never seen it.
It's like my third most favorite film of all time.
I know why you like it. I really enjoyed it as far as like the 80s vibe and the 80s film it is. Like, I was like, this is actually really great. I really liked it a lot.
I think it's the best vampire movie ever made. You know, like, everyone's really trying to do, like, it just puts the Twilights to shame.
I'm actually right there with Katie. I saw it in October
for the first time
ever. Wow.
I wish I would have known you guys hadn't seen it. We would have done a viewing. That would have been great.
I really enjoyed it. So
it's
up by Santa Cruz and the boardwalk.
Yeah. Like, I can see why it's a cult classic. Like, I can totally understand that now.
Do you feel it held up?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah. They're tearing people up and he's looking through the trees.
Yeah.
Or is that the tree? Oh. Yeah. And then also the train track scene. I know. My God.
Which, the train track scene, good. You think it was filmed in Santa Cruz. It's actually filmed right outside Magic Mountain, that train track out in front.
Oh, okay.
So.
Yeah, no, it definitely held up to all the hype that the people have always said about it, and I really thought that was cool. So
I love that movie so much.
I want to jump in with another Netflix one. I saw Aramintari, which is the longer English title is The Devil and the Blacksmith. It's a film I recommend watch it in the native language, Basque. Mm-hmm. It is very kind of almost whimsical, and it's still a good horror, even though that makes it sound like it's kooky, and I like that, though. Mm-hmm. Like, it has a very different kind of vibe. And so it's this guy who's a blacksmith, and this orphan girl ends up in his space, and he also happens to have captured a demon devil thing.
I saw the trailer for this somewhere.
It probably showed it while you were scrolling through, because that's what they do.
Yeah.
And it was actually really entertaining. There's some humor in it, and the person who plays the demon does so... Their commitment to it is so entertaining to watch. Like, can we have more scenes with you? Because he's just so bizarre, and hearing it in the language is, I think, also really beneficial, too. I don't generally watch things dubbed, too, so especially live action. I'm like, nope.
I don't either, because...
On Netflix, go check it out. Yeah. And then I tweet it, and the director liked my tweet.
Seriously?
Nice.
I was like, yay, no, your movie's
recognition.
Great.
All right,
we're going to have to super speed this up.
We're going
to
speed up.
I will go super quick.
Luke needs a turn.
Okay, cheese me.
He's like, I'm waiting.
The Meg.
Yes.
Derek's my good friend. Him and his wife took me for my birthday, because I'm a big shark fan. Jaws is my favorite movie, so... It knows what it is. It was a lot of fun. It's not like an Oscar-worthy film, but it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
A lot of fun scenes, and it was exactly what it needed to be, and it was awesome.
Jason Statham fighting a giant shark.
Yes.
That's all you need to know. It was great.
Yeah.
All right, but like Luke said, we could talk about movies forever, but we really do have to...
Yeah, we could do the whole show just on this, but we do gotta...
Let me tell you a movie I saw this year that was really interesting. Derek, you saw the same one, The Endless. The Endless, which was about
I love that movie.
I did too. It was a couple of brothers who were raised in a UFO cult, and how they got out, and then they received a strange message from somebody in the cult to come back and visit, and mm-hmm. and one brother wants to stay and one brother wants to leave, and it is great. Yeah. It's so interesting.
There's all this crazy stuff going on there too, and yeah. you are really confused as to what it is, and even when it ends you're a little bit confused.
The ending, I definitely had to look it up on the internet real quick and say, okay, what does that mean? But it makes sense to me. And maybe I appreciated the movie more for what it was trying to do than what it actually did. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to the question, do we set our bars lower for horror movies than we do for other movies?
Mm.
Maybe.
Yeah,
I think we do.
Bit.
But you know what? This is
because they take more risks.
Yes, they do. And
that's a good point.
I agree. Anyways, The Endless. It's on... Did I see it on Netflix?
Netflix.
Yeah,
yes.
You said Netflix.
Oh, it's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it's on Netflix because it was it was showing at a local theater here in town when the night I was going to go see it. I couldn't go see it. And I said, oh, it's got to be on.
Mm-hmm.
So I found it. Anyways, so we're going to kind of go quickly here.
Also, I want to give a shout out to Upgrade. I loved the trailer and I loved the movie. Action's great. Camera work's cool. Acting's amazing. And it's very fun.
It's about the man who is...
It's essentially a different version of Venom.
Yes,
sort of.
It is.
But
with a guy who looks just like...
Yes, and the way he acts with some other symbiotic relationship.
Logan Marshall Green.
Yes.
Logan Marshall Green, who is the other Tom Hardy.
Oh, it's so great, though.
Not anymore.
His acting is just superb of how he's talking to this thing that isn't there, and it's like a computer chip to make him walk after he has an injury.
Instead of an alien, he's possessed by Siri, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And instead of going round robin, just let's call it the movies that really stook out to us this year.
Anthony,
there's one that you need to... Just call out for us.
I've talked endlessly about Hereditary.
Yes.
Which is great. And you guys all know I freaking loved it.
Yep.
Okay. But there's one other film that I think didn't get as much love, which I loved just as much, or a little less, but just as great. Annihilation. Was such a great film.
I saw that. It was really interesting.
Did you see it too?
Yeah.
Natalie Portman, right?
Yes, yeah. Tessa Thompson.
Sci-fi you're talking about now. I couldn't figure out what it was.
Gina Rodriguez.
Gina Rodriguez is so
was
good
amazing.
In that. Totally different from Jane the Virgin.
The monster that they have, that half bear like with infused with a human like girl
mm-hmm.
moan, is so interesting and so crazy.
Yeah.
It's just such a great film.
And the movie, like, it really keeps your mind going, too. And at the end, you're like, I think this is what happened, but it mm-hmm. might have been this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes you want to go and research more about the film and everything. And it inspired me to go buy the book and read it.
Mm.
Yeah. And, it's very thought-provoking.
That's cool.
So fantastic.
What other films, Anthony? You said you had another one?
Oh, I do have another one. I mean, that was that one. One also that I would like to talk about. Oh, The Dark, which I had the
Dark?
Yes, I had the pleasure to interview one of the main actors of the film. His name is Toby Nichols, and you can find that on the Popcorn Talk Network on Horror Movie News.
So, what's that about?
So The Dark is mainly about a, believe it or not, it's this zombie girl who lives in the woods. Who's this man who kidnaps a boy ends up in her neck of the woods, and she 86s him, and then he finds the boy, and it's him, her, and the boy, and they're both like teenagers, and they're both like they find solace in themselves because of their tortured past and because of their years of abuse that is implied. You see the girl's past, and the boy's past is mainly implied because it's more of the girl's story. And it's a fantastic, thought-provoking film. I really enjoyed it.
You should add that he's blind, so he can't see that she's weird.
That she's the monster, right.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay, cool. That adds a cool level of social commentary, and I like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Anthony, when you said The Dark, I was perplexed because there was a movie in the 70s called The Dark, and it was a very scary alien movie. So, about this alien going around in the dark, blowing people's heads off.
I guess I'll say The Dark... 2018.
Yeah, just like Halloween 2018.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not into all this rename. All right. Are there any other movies that we have not covered that are worthy of really kind of...
Getting
shout-outs. What about, real quick, guys, movies that were stinkers?
Don't watch Open House on Netflix. It is terrible. It will literally waste your time. Do not watch it.
I think I have to also throw out there, I started watching, I stopped, and... Slender Man. Everyone knows I'm obsessed with the Slender Man story.
I'm sorry, Freddy.
But Slender Man has got an eight on Rotten Tomatoes. Oh my god!
You know, because Sony Screen Gems butchered it from like its original rating and like had to cut out a lot of scenes right before it went into theaters.
Really? Because it's
a whole controversy of it. Hopefully, they release like a director's cut if they're smart about it to try to salvage some you know, finances on it.
But I do. I need to call out one movie that I thought was a good film, which did not. I don't think it got enough attention. Was Bad Samaritan. We went to the premiere, not the premiere, the friends and family showing of it. We have some friends that were involved with the production of it.
Yeah,
David Tennant.
That's on my list.
Yeah,
but it's available to stream right now.
Yeah.
I think on Hulu and Amazon.
It's a good movie and it's a good, great concept.
David Tennant.
Mm-hmm.
David Tennant
as a bad guy.
He's good as a villain. We've seen him do that a few times.
Mm-hmm. All right, we do have to move on to our favorite TV. But any more stinkers that you would tell us to kind of swear off? No.
The Nun. The Purge. The first Purge.
Oh, really?
Garbage.
Listen, son.
Fire.
Don't be going off about the Nun again.
I know. The biggest box office successes of the year. A Quiet Place was the biggest movie of the year. We like it. Halloween, like it. The Nun was the third biggest horror movie of the year, and it really tanked as far as the critics are concerned.
It can tank and be a terrible movie.
It's part of that.
Everybody goes and sees
it. It's a franchise.
It's part of the
It's got the Blumhouse attached to it.
It's the Blumhouse and Conjuring, and then the house with the clock in its walls. I didn't know that was necessarily horror.
It's kind of a kid's horror.
Yeah, it's a kid's horror.
Same thing with Goosebumps, too.
Yep. Yeah. And then Insidious, The Last Key, did really well.
It was all right.
I'm telling you.
I do give shout out to Goosebumps, too. It was cute and fun, and they have some. I tweeted about it. There's a great joke as if your pumpkins came alive and how you've decorated them, and imagine you don't do a good job and there's one that looks a little more simplistic and he's like, "Hiya, happy Easter," because he's a little dumber.
That's
and it's
really
so
funny.
All right,
it's so simple. That's but fit. Funny.
Television, the best in television. Can we all agree that there was one thing that hit TV this year that's just remarkable?
Yeah, by TV, you mean streaming, specifically Netflix.
What is it?
Specifically The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes. Amazing.
I haven't watched it.
Loved it.
Amazing. We won't ruin it for you right now. We're not spoiling it.
Yeah,
but
no.
Wow, it's so much brighter in here.
Oh, my God. He took the mask off. But how many episodes? It's like 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. And each one just so artful, so deep, so incredible. What's the director's name again? Anthony, you know it.
We were just saying it.
The guy who directed, he's...
He said it. He said the name like three times.
Mark?
No.
We'll look it up. Anyways.
Now I'm forgetting it because we...
I think
it's amazing. Side note, episode, I think it's 5 is the funeral part.
The funeral episode.
It's shot in only 5 takes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 5 scenes.
5 scenes, sorry. 5 different scenes, and they could be up to 10 minutes long, but it's one long take. Each of those scenes is
Mike
one
Flanagan.
Take.
Mike Flanagan, yes.
There we go, Mike. And it blows your mind when you realize
Mike Flanagan, he's a name to watch. Dr. Sleep, he's doing the Stephen King sequel to The Shining. He's done a number of horror films, one of them based right up the road in Glendale. There's a bridge in Glendale. He did some kind of evil creature or ghost coming out and living underneath a bridge in Glendale, which I need to go get down. He's just a voice to watch. He's just an amazing talent. So... All right, so going around the table, what else?
We did do a Lore after show. You can watch on AfterBuzz. I didn't like the second season as much as the first because there is no narration, no extra facts the way there is. I know.
That's
and
strange.
You're why? Yeah. But the last two episodes have it, so stick with it.
All right.
Yeah, and go watch the after show on AfterBuzz.
I have to talk about Sabrina because I just watched it in like 2 days.
The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. On Netflix.
I never really watched the original because I wasn't
allowed to. Which is probably
good
for you.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of not having
I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a kid, so I never watched it.
Oh, and they just won their lawsuit with Satan.
Oh, they won.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was wondering.
They settled it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to know more about that later. Anyway, I really enjoyed it. Everybody was saying it was like super satanic, and it is satanic. But like
they're witches.
I've watched stuff that's darker than that. So to me, it wasn't.
And also,
like,
the show isn't saying, "Hey, look, these people worship Satan, and you should too."
Yeah.
It's
exactly.
Like it's kind of taking something dark and treating it seriously as
and
like
normal.
This is that saying that it's dark.
It did get a hell of a lot darker halfway through the season.
Oh yeah,
and you're like. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I see what people were saying there, but I highly recommend it. There's a few things people didn't like about it that did not bother me, but, you know, that's another discussion.
And does it not fit into the Archie, the Riverdale?
It's going to connect from what I understand, because if you watch Riverdale, which I do, this season, it's getting very supernatural culty, I think that's they're trying to set up. I think they're trying to set up.
Yeah, and in the episode, they literally say over in Riverdale.
They mention Riverdale. So. Apparently,
like
someone from Riverdale did a cameo.
Yeah.
I did not know.
There's a guy.
And then one other thing is I still watch Supernatural.
Season 14.
I'm not caught up. Like, I have, like, a few episodes behind because the stream on CW's website sucks. But I have to give them credit because 13, 14 seasons, they're still thinking of an interesting story and still have my attention.
Yes. Nice.
And that's so hard to do with a show that's been on for 14 years. And those actors, I think Jim, like, favorited my tweet. I think they have a supernatural ability at this point.
Yeah.
Because I don't think they've aged.
You said that they've drunk some kind of, they've taken
look,
the cider.
Some they're going younger than they did when they started.
Although
the
Gene's
show.
Voice, he finally hit puberty.
The Scooby-Natural show. That was
Scooby-Natural
really
awesome. Of last season?
Was amazing.
It's one of the most incredible episodes of TV ever.
I saw that
ever.
One and I really liked it.
It was, I've had some people who've never watched Supernatural who watched that episode and were like, that was fantastic.
Yeah, because I haven't seen much of it, but I really, really enjoyed it.
Long live Dean and Sam.
And you can watch that episode without ever watching the show because it's...
And Cass.
You know. So.
And are they going to bring... You think they're going to bring back Crowley? They got to bring back Crowley.
Well, this season and last season, they brought back a lot of people. So if you did watch it in the beginning and you're like, oh, they got rid of this person, maybe watch
Rowena,
13
Is it Rowena, his mom? Okay, anyways, we can't spend a lot of time there. Yeah. Derek, do you have any shows that are jumping out at you?
I think we mentioned him. We did mention Castle Rock, or it's...
Castle Rock, the brand new show on Hulu. Got a great big push from San Diego Comic-Con.
Really interesting. And I was a little bit torn after I watched the whole season, but because there were things I loved about it and other things I was like, I don't know, I kind of wish there'd been some, I don't know, a little more resolution with the arc at the end of the season and things like that. But still, just all the references and the mystery was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And what a great cast, too.
Sissy Spacek, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Castle Rock is the combination of all the Stephen King mythology.
That world.
And the world produced by J.J. Abrams. So, two masters working together there, which I think... Derek, I got to ask you, because for many years, you and I and Cheeseman, we all got together on Sunday nights to watch a certain show that
we're kind of
not all watching together anymore.
We're really not. I don't know if we're watching it at
we're
all.
We're as split up as the cast is right now.
What show are we talking about?
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I've heard people have dropped off like flies.
Alexandra, you're the Hilltop.
Yeah, and I like kind of rushed through some episodes, and I was like skipping speeches and stuff, which you can do.
So many speeches! Oh my gosh, like speechify us to death.
To get caught up to like the Rick's final episode so that we could talk about that here, which it was... I know it was a decent enough episode. It was really interesting. We talked about all this. We don't need to rehash.
I kind of liked his episode.
I'm just glad he didn't go down with that stupid bridge. Like, we need to build the bridge.
I liked it.
You're not going to die because it's a stupid bridge.
But you've kind of almost checked out, haven't you?
It's harder for me to get excited about it because I used to be like, oh, I can't miss it, or where it's now like, I can watch it tomorrow. Like, it's just kind of after the whole like Negan Peak thing. Like, it's just kind of like. I'm still excited about it and interested to see where it goes, but the show's become too much of like where there was a group traveling together from place to place, like when they're all together and kind of
and that
doing
was what
that,
we cared about.
And that's when we cared about it, but now everything got so split up and now it's more like we live in a zombie land and we're all in different places. Like it just feels like a different show, like a Western and a zombie world, you know, like
Westworld.
It's like Westworld, but even though I haven't seen that, but
which
like,
has also been really
so
fascinating.
Good.
I had never finished season two, but that's another discussion.
All right, Eli
Roth. It's becoming scarier in some ways. I will say that though, like I think they're trying to build a little more of the horror.
If you guys didn't see the last episode of the mid-season finale of The Whispers, wow, that was creepy.
Oh, yeah. I have not watched another episode since Rick's last one.
Yeah,
so I just haven't really felt like it was worth the time yet.
And did you have... What about you, Cheeseman?
Shows? Walking Dead was the main one. I've seen a good bit of American Horror Story.
The season?
Haven't quite finished. There's like good and bad to it. Sometimes you feel kind of like while you're watching it, but then some stuff's like really cool and cinematic and acting like...
Yeah.
And then going back to kind of the first season's house and all that.
The murder house from the first season.
Yeah.
That
episode was good.
That was a good episode.
That's the last episode I watched.
Connie Britton was back. That was good to see her back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I loved it.
I'm so behind on my horror
shows.
And then
the Eli Roth.
It's what the History of Horror. Eli Roth's History of Horror, which comes on like at midnight, I think, or 11 or midnight. Midnight on AMC.
It's
on
very
Sunday
good
nights.
Though. Like, and they kind of do different
who
topics,
knows?
Which is really nice. And then I saw everything but the last episode of X-Files.
Okay,
which I still need to
see. X-Files, sci-fi horror. I got to call that one. I'm so glad it returned. A lot of people were like, X-Files is done. They didn't love it. I really enjoyed it. I almost said I loved it. I loved it. And even if it's all wrapped up and this is the end of X-Files, they gave it a satisfying conclusion. I hope they move. We see something else. But I was actually privileged to be part of the AfterBuzz X-Files, AfterBuzz mm-hmm. show here at the AfterBuzz and Popcorn Talk Networks. All right, what else? Real quick, guys.
I'm not up to date with the show, but we covered the first season here at AfterBuzz. Van Helsing. Shout mm-hmm. out to them that they're still going.
Yeah.
Because that was a kind of small...
That's on the Sci-Fi Network,
isn't
it?
It's a sci-fi mm-hmm. show, though at the beginning, their vampires are kind of more like zombies, but I think they... grow with it and do
Is anyone
more.
Else freezing?
It's really cold.
Wow, it's cold in here.
It started snowing. Cold. It's winter.
Nice and warm here for me.
So, yeah. What else, Carrie?
Just shout out to Van Helsing. I'm glad that they're still going because we covered that at the beginning. We had the lead actress in here, too.
Nice.
So I'm glad that their show is still on the air.
Yep. And what about Z Nation? Has anybody been watching Z Nation?
I don't, but we also cover that after show here. And the people who do love it, they've had a lot of the actors come in. So I think that's really cool that a lot of the actors are coming in for the after show on that.
And let's just say, there's very few shows that are popular shows that are not covered here at AfterBuzz. We have an after show for just about everything because we are a great fan network. Also, Derek, you saw the movie The Purge. Have you watched the TV show at all?
I haven't yet. I've saved it all on my DirecTV queue to... try and watch it later.
Mm-hmm. We're in the
and
process,
then you can watch the after
it,
show.
Of yeah. the Purge storyline?
I don't know where it is in the storyline.
It takes place before the Purge happens. It's the hours leading up to the Purge.
Mm-hmm.
So you could watch that first, then the newer Purge, and then go back and watch
I have
the
not seen the newer Purge. I watched like the first 20 minutes of the first episode of the Purge TV show, but they don't let you use your Chromecast, so I have to watch it on my phone, and I wasn't okay with that. So
okay,
yeah.
Speaking of, it's, go ahead.
I was a random shout out to the Purge. I tweeted in my dance show, we had a Purge styled number, like our outfits were like the Purge, and they reached out to me on Twitter, and I messaged them, and I got like a Purge survival kit mailed to me.
Oh yeah, did you?
Yeah, nice. So it was like a shirt, hat, and like some other miscellaneous.
It's probably
they have a bleach pen, like to get a stain
from Comic Con this summer.
From Comic Con,
their offsite they had.
Yeah.
And real quick, has anyone here watched The Apostle? Or Apostle on Netflix.
That's not a show. That's actually a film.
It's a film. Okay, yeah. That's why it's wrong. Okay, yeah. It's Apostle. It's
by,
the film.
Gareth Edwards, who did the Raid series.
That's Gareth Edwards did that?
Yeah, the Raid and the Raid... Raid Redemption and the Raid 2.
Yep.
He also did the original Godzilla.
And Rogue One.
And Rogue One. Star
Wars.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, wow.
Okay, wow.
Godzilla's like whatever.
I started it and have not had a chance to actually sit down and finish it.
I think it was actually fired from Rogue One, but we don't talk about that.
I just started getting into Black Mirror recently.
I've seen.
I saw just the first episode, but I want to watch more of them.
I need to see more because that first episode
really
left me.
I heard it's just really dark.
Yeah, I want
to. It's not. I am yet to be shocked, scared, surprised. I like it, and there's some good episodes. But people built it up like, oh my gosh, this is crazy television, and it's like.
It's actually very thought provoking.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. I've seen good ones. So.
It's very slow. It's not really for everybody.
It is slow.
It's an hour long thought provoking version of, say, The Twilight Zone.
But I would say some are far better than others. Like, some are very and then some are like, oh, that was really good.
Yeah,
very Twilight Zone, but technology is the common theme throughout.
Is Black Mirror, is that where they. Is that the show where they recreated like a Star Trek?
Yes, that was one of the famous episodes of the year.
I need to go back and watch. Okay.
By the way, do you know what the title actually is? What the Black Mirror is?
No.
It's our TV sets.
It's your screen.
It's a screen is the idea. Yeah.
Okay. Has anybody still watching Channel Zero or been keeping up with it? I saw a couple episodes last year.
Watching what?
Channel Zero.
I really want to.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a sci-fi late night,
I've
like
heard it's
Grindhouse
really good,
or
yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Teeth Kid. I
enjoyed it.
Sort of like it sort of takes after the model that you just mentioned it. Hell House. What is that? American Horror Story.
American Horror Story. Yeah.
It's like that same vein. Where every season is a different story, and they're about six episodes long, an hour long each. I only saw the first season, and I really liked it. It was a little slow at some parts, but it's like sci-fi, so what can you do? You know, you kind of go in with that kind of mindset. But yeah, so far it's spawned three seasons in total, and I hear it's still going very strong. I'm gonna personally check it out myself.
I need it. And we are going to finish with our events and haunts together, but. Lastly, on TV shows, Fear the Walking Dead, something that I know that you were trying to catch up on because you have your cousin is actually one of the actors on the revamped Fear the Walking Dead, but you've kind of like lost touch with the show.
Well, the problem was I think lost the first episode on the DVR, so I got to figure out how to get the first, and then I think like some of them got deleted.
Oh,
or
yeah.
Oh, no.
So need to go back. And yeah, I really want to catch up on that. And then someone here on the chat feed was mentioning Legion as horror.
Oh, I guess. Yeah.
So they said it was freaky and kind of.
Yeah.
I love how we all had the same reaction. We're like,
and watch like, yeah. Like, nobody like, knows what Legion is.
But
it's
they
just
have those
good.
Creepy characters.
They do
in
have
it.
Creepy characters.
Last season they had a super creepy the guy, the evil
Farouk.
Farouk.
I would say Blobby more thriller. Because it's like a psychological thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
I haven't
and maybe if you don't watch a lot of horror, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to finish that.
But also, it gives you a headache because so much happens and you're like, have I been watching this for 3 hours and it's been 20 minutes and you're just like,
oh, then you watch the after show to digest.
My favorite week of horror though this year, Shark Week. It's horror.
Oh,
it's horrific.
Yeah.
I love
that
Shark
counts?
Week so much.
Yeah.
It's a lot of blood, a lot of guts, and a lot of death. Anyways, it's great. All right, so we're going to finish the show with the favorite things that we did, like the favorite haunted houses, the favorite events, anything together that we thought deserved some shout outs, and go.
Why are you putting it at me? I didn't go to any of these events.
I know.
We're going to popcorn this one.
I had fun at your Halloween party.
Well, that's a good one.
How's that?
Carrie, I know that Carrie
yes,
went up to a lot.
I would actually say this year I had more fun at Queen Mary than I did at Knott's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for you to say that.
I love Knott's.
Huh? Nice. Was it the alcohol?
Alcohol did help, but the thing I liked about it is they changed up the mazes. They were longer mazes. Mm-hmm. They had more, like, choose-your-own-adventure, which was great because then it literally is a maze.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And because there were different ways you could go. There was either you could go left or right, or there really was, like, multiple ways to go. There were more actual acrobatics to it, though that sounds more bigger than it is.
Yeah.
But like literally walk up a big ramp and come down or crawl underneath things or crawl through something.
Yeah.
So that made it more adventurous.
And creepy.
And creepy. Yeah. Like there's one where it's a meat tunnel essentially. And at first I didn't know.
Meat tunnel.
Yeah. Well, because it's like a like a meat factory thing, and I didn't know you could literally go through it, and then I saw other people, so I actually went backwards and was like, I want to go through it. So that just made it more interesting, I think. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't necessarily like just that they had the drinks, but the challenge to find the bars was fun.
Oh.
Yeah. So
they had internal
bars.
Down there,
they also had switches inside one of the bars. I don't remember which one. Where you could scare guests who were going by. You could press the button and scare guests while they went by. My friends did that. So
that was really neat.
Wow. And you guys all went on the same night, I think, because Brad went with you, too.
We ended up... oh, no, you went.
Yeah, I went the same night. We almost didn't make it, but yeah. But I went the same night as Carrie.
And yeah, even if you don't drink, it was still fun to try to find it. And they definitely stepped up their game and was really good this year.
For me, I'm going to say WB Horror Made here. I really enjoyed
I'm wearing
the
shirt from there. I loved it.
Just how immersive it was. It didn't feel like...
That's on the Warner Brothers backlot in Hollywood.
For example, their Terror Tram. I've gone at their Terror Tram because it was essentially the same.
Mm-hmm.
Where you started on the tour and then you get off and you go through
Camp Crystal Lake.
Mm-hmm. And so it was called Escape From... Or Nightmare at Camp Crystal Lake or whatever it was.
Yes.
Nightmare.
The thing that I liked about it was... They didn't just throw actors into an existing backlot set and they'd be like, here's this, and this is the story, and you're like, how does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
They actually created Camp Crystal Lake and had the scare actors there. So it's like you actually felt like you were at camp. They filled the lake on the backlot specifically for that, like that kind of thing. Whereas Terror Tram at Universal is, we're in War of the Worlds. Okay, well, then why is this character here? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, I liked that. And then even, like, just that a very small feeling of it, I liked it.
Very boutique.
It felt like it felt like you were at a carnival in a different way than you are at Queen Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that we were able to go on everything without VIP, which was really cool to me. Like, yes, the Conjuring line was super long, but we still got through everything.
But that Conjuring house was so amazing.
I had to close my eyes most of that. I don't watch the Conjuring
really?
Movies. But, like Arkham Asylum, some people didn't like it because they're like, it's not horror. But I loved it because I've been the comic book person that I am in the superhero fam. It's you felt like you were in Arkham Prison.
Yeah.
And
they did a very good job.
The makeup in that, too. The makeup on the Joker.
Yeah. And my friend, like, made me and my date split up at one part of the maze. Like, I had to go this way, he had to go another way. And I didn't know how long I was going to be walking without him.
Yeah.
But my friend was the Joker, so I blame him. But, and then, like, the fact that, like, the characters, if they weren't in the maze, were just kind of wandering the back lot and scaring you in character.
That's cool.
And it wasn't like oh, you stay in this section, you stay in this section, you stay in this section. And they had some cool photo ops and things like that. And even, like, the Little Shop of Horrors was the name of the souvenir shop. Yep. Like, things like
that's
that.
That's where I bought this shirt.
Yeah, they had a lot of just little details that I really appreciated.
The Lost Boys Arcade?
From a production standpoint.
It was pretty bland.
It was bland, but yeah. It was cool that it was there.
The fact that they used the facades and they utilized the facades to make something, I thought that was interesting. Like, they actually put thought into the details and the production design of it and not just overall. Like, the scares are not at the same level as Universal or anything.
Right.
But they were more personal, and they kind of followed you around and stayed.
They were immersive.
Longer.
I liked
just
it.
Michael Myers jumping out, and then he pops back, and you just
and
see him. They kind of like would follow you out through the room and all that.
Pennywise would follow you.
Pennywise jumped on our studio tour thing for, like, the first few minutes.
Yeah.
And then just jumped off. So, like,
that was Pennywise was great.
And
there.
Derek,
that It Maze, yeah.
And Derek and Anthony, you guys both went to the WB Backlot tour as well, right? And you, what did you guys think?
I had a good time there. I was there with Ben, and I
Ben who's not here tonight,
right? They had a kind of like an interactive screening of a scenes from The Exorcist in there in the church, which was really interesting. And then you come outside, and there's a little kiosk where they're selling pea soup.
Super clever.
That was my favorite moment.
Anthony,
what'd
you think?
Corn dog was amazing too.
I had
and Carrie,
one of
did
the
you
best corn dogs.
Dipped
in
ranch
no,
even was amazing.
I totally want to go now hearing everybody's stories. Yeah. I wasn't able to go this year. I did want to give a quick shout out, speaking of, like, the actors and how into it. Haunted Hayride, the actors were super committed. As a haunt, it wasn't necessarily one of my favorites. It's very, very, very petite. But I enjoyed how like being in the woods and how committed the actors were. I felt they were really in it. Like, while you're in line, you could watch them walking around and everything, and even on the hayride, I felt they were really interesting to watch. I didn't get scared, but I saw other people totally in it, so I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Cheeseman.
Yeah, the Halloween 40 Years of Terror was really cool. It was like a smaller convention, but there was a lot of cool panels, like, on a lot of the films. They didn't do all of them, but they even did the original Halloween. Nick Castle was there. I got to meet him. I got to meet, like, somebody from that was in the movie Jaws that was in Halloween 2. And there was just the floor. I was able to actually, like, see the whole floor multiple times. So I really felt like I got to immerse myself in it and really see everything. So I kind of liked it being smaller and being able to get into every panel. But it was really cool. Met a lot of cool people and all that. Just one of the things I did.
And it celebrated 40 years of my favorite horror film, Halloween. And it was great seeing all the characters from the original film. And I think they had a panel for every single film. They didn't have an H2O panel. I noticed that. But anyways, as we wrap up here, and I loved H2O. That was one of my favorite of all those, of all the sequels. We here in Los Angeles, we were very blessed to have two middle-of-the-summer Halloween conventions. One was called Midsummer Scream, which I really enjoyed this year. Midsummer Scream is basically a Halloween convention. All the vendors and all the haunted attractions in Southern California kind of show up. Especially, who are the guys from Universal Halloween Horror Nights? It's the two guys that go around, and the ones that plan it. Oh, I'm not.
Murdy?
Yes. I'm sorry. The big names. Anyways, they were there, and they gave a fantastic presentation. So the thing I loved the most about Midsummer was the back section where it was all in dark. It was like a big carnival back there. I really liked that. Scare-LA, I have always enjoyed. I hope they... This year was in one big room, one big convention hall, which made it a little bit challenging, but I still did enjoy it for the most part. My favorite haunted maze of the year was the Poltergeist Maze at Halloween Horror Nights in both Orlando and Hollywood. Just blew me away. That one was so great. Any other favorites, guys, as we wrap up the show here?
We also saw Son of Monster Palooza was one of the conventions.
Oh, I loved it,
Same little bubble of time, and we'll probably do Monster Palooza at the beginning of the year, but... That was another cool, smaller one. Had, like, decent panels there as well, and the floor was easy to kind of navigate and make your way through.
Mm-hmm.
The Purge City pop-up at Comic-Con, honestly, was a really fun thing that I'm glad I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing, a kind of a horror presence at San Diego Comic-Con was cool. Kind of gave it a little bit of diversity and stuff. Mm-hmm. And even though we waited 2 hours in line to go in Purge City, it was definitely something that not everyone got to do that I'm really glad I got the chance to do, because it was kind of just bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, it was the weirdest thing, but it was enjoyable. So
that's cool.
It. Yeah.
And can I just put a shout-out to Horror Hound? It's a series of conventions. They have the one in Indianapolis, which I think our friend Jake goes to. But Horror Hound also did the Halloween 40 Years of Terror convention. I'm glad that they are doing their conventions. Also, Walker Stalker is still going strong, the Walker Stalker conventions. Even though the viewership on the TV show is kind of dwindling a little bit, but the conventions are still going strong. And also, Contact in the Desert out in Joshua Tree is a UFO convention. It's not necessarily horror per se, but it's kind of paranormal, and it's something I have not yet made it to. George Norrie, who hosts Coast Up Coast at nighttime, he hosts it every year, so I'm planning to go this year in June.
Let's go. I'm a UFO freak.
I am too.
Here.
It's awesome.
Let's do it.
Road trip.
Yes.
Also, it's not on here, but it's in February. The Vampire Ball in Los Angeles is in February.
Oh, nice.
Mm. I'm hoping to go in the near, like, I don't know if it's sold out yet, but they have them all over the country. It's
nice.
A vampire ball. The biggest one is in New Orleans or the south
down there. Also, the Hollow Screams in the Busch Gardens parks across the country were very successful this year. And then here in Southern California, we have something called Sinister Point, where Sinister Point actually had like a ride-through attraction in a mall this year, which was pretty impressive. They just kind of went all out this year. As we finish the show, favorite memory of this last year? One of your favorite memories.
Ooh. I got to go to my first, like, crazy horror convention, and it was with you guys.
That was an awesome one. I loved it.
Scare LA.
Yeah. That was super fun.
We got our matching shirts, kind of.
Yeah. That was pretty cool.
And also, I shared with you guys as well my first successful Halloween Horror Nights at Universal because I got really drunk the first time and I got kicked out for scaring the civilians. That's a big no-no. But yeah, that was a great time. So I got to say that was one of my favorite highlights.
I had a blast with you going this year.
It was awesome. And we're wearing our monster tees and everything. And it was just a blast.
Me and Anthony rode a train ride through Scare LA. Remember the 3D black light attraction we went through?
That was fun.
That was kind of my most favorite moment of this year that I remember horror wise is when Jamie Lee Curtis at San Diego Comic-Con came down from the crowd and she comforted a fan who had traveled there to see her, and he was talking about how Halloween the movie and her character in particular helped influence him through a traumatic experience in his own personal life. I thought that was great. She came down, she hugged him. Yvette Nicole Brown was up on stage. She was like saying, "Jamie Lee Curtis, we love you." I love Yvette Nicole Brown as well. So that to me was an amazing moment. You can watch that moment. It's on our YouTube channel, but really love that moment as far as horror. I think I like that moment better than the movie. But anyways.
Anything else?
Oh, I know.
I'm kidding.
Anything else, guys, as we wrap up the show here? Good moments.
Not horror, but I would say Sundance was pretty amazing because I did Sundance and Slam Dance and just so many pop-up experiences that happened out of the blue. I did a whole bunch of interviews with people all on the Popcorn Talk Facebook page, and they were live stream. Live streaming at Anime Expo was pretty exciting too. Check that out on the AfterBuzz Animation channel.
I had a good time, Carrie. What you we live streamed a little bit, but you interviewed a guy in high school who did a home haunt this year over in Glendale. That was kind of cool, just seeing that the Apache Hunt.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that this year.
Can I share also just thanks to the Popcorn Talk Network and also my show, the show Horror Movie News. I just had a wonderful year of like interviewing people. My highlights definitely was RKSS, which is Roadkill Superstar, that did Summer of 84. My God, what a trio. And also I had like legendary actors and actresses such as Udo Kier, who's been on over 100 plus IMDb credits. Also Lin Shaye.
You interviewed Lin Shaye?
Yeah, it was fantastic. Again, like has over like 200 plus
Can we just
IMDb
real quick
credits.
Lin Shaye from the Nightmare Before.
No, the Insidious.
It's the Insidious movies.
Yes. But originally she was back, not the Nightmare.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street, not the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yes. She's a teacher. Also, like the director and the, I believe, cinematographer for The Ritual, David Bruckner and Andrew Schoelkind. My God. Also, Carrie's film, The Following, right?
Followed, yeah.
The Followed,
we
oh
followed
my God.
Premiere at Burbank. And it's still doing a bunch of festivals.
Yeah,
so
I haven't seen this movie yet.
Such a fun film, my God.
It will probably come back.
And so many more to mention. The producers from The Searching with John
Yes,
Cho.
Yes, that was great, too.
Just great interviews, and Mike, it's just been a great year for me personally.
Okay, guys, we do have to wrap up. We have to finish. We are at 1 hour. Anything before we close down?
I just went to more conventions this year, I think, than I ever have in my life.
Woo!
So, even if it was just ghosting them because of cosplaying.
Ghosting?
I got the best out of that. got a free ticket to one day at LA Comic Con because they gave me the wrong badge. So, you know, that was cool, too.
That was good.
Yeah, well, as I said, I got caught up on a few old horror movies that I had never seen before. And I met Peter Safran, the producer of the Conjuring movies, at my gym.
Turns out
he's a really nice guy.
Nice.
Yeah. Of course he is. Of course he is. Cheeseman, anything before we close?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier meeting Jeffrey Kramer, who is in Jaws movies, in the original Jaws, and the second one, actually, and he was in Halloween 2, meeting him at the Halloween convention, and also Nick Castle, the original Michael Myers. That was pretty cool, getting a picture with him and meeting him. And I did the little Dr. Pepper pose with him. Yeah, too, which is cool.
With your mask half off your head, the famous Michael Myers mask off the head.
Yeah, that's pretty rad. I haven't seen that.
Oh, yeah, and I brought a couple of Christmas things I got for myself, which is these Walking Dead Hallmark figurines that you can get. These are the current ones they've done. You know, they did an old one of Daryl before. They did Michonne.
Hold the bottom of the bike because it makes it look like he's headless. Okay. Unless he is, which could be cool. Yeah.
It's Walking Dead, he's not
headless yet. He's not like headless Herschel, but it's Merle and Daryl here. Brothers reunited. Aww. Although Merle's the zombie version. Daryl's not a zombie yet. He's still living.
Right.
So you can get these on Hallmark.com or at the stores. You can do a store pickup or get them shipped to you.
Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in to our show this week as we reviewed 2018, the year that was in horror. We had a lot of great stuff, a lot of stinkers, but overall, we love horror. We love you guys being a part of our show. We hopefully you will join us next year in 2019.
I like horror as a friend.
Derek is horror adjacent. The rest of us are in the eye of the storm.
All right, we're going to bring you over to the dark side.
2019. Yes. Well, we'll get him fully in there. Anyways, my name is Jim. You can find me at Con Guy Jim here on The Scare Guy Show.
And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's K-A-R-I-D-L-A-N-E.
I'm Katie. You can find me on Instagram at Katie's Fairy Tale or on Twitter at KT_Christine.
Hi, I'm Derek Sams. You can find me on Twitter at ConGuyDerek.
And I'm Cheeseman on the Couch. You can find me on Twitter at CheeseOnCouch and on thescareguy.com.
Yes, and you can follow our show at thescareguy.com on Twitter and on Instagram. And hopefully you'll follow along and have a great Christmas.
Tony?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. My name is Anthony Becerra. You can find me everywhere at Tony B, Tony _ T-O-N-Y, the letter B, T-O-N-Y _ at the end. Thank you so much. Great all show.
Right. All right. Don't be a Scrooge. Have a good Christmas. Otherwise, you get those ghosts. All right. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.